The ticket printer would not stop screaming. White slips curled onto the floor, slick with grease and sweat. The chef stood at the pass, eyes locked on the line, voice cutting through the heat. Plates came back untouched. A sauce was wrong. A garnish was missing. He did not correct. He attacked. Everyone heard it. The dishwasher froze. The servers stopped talking. A line cook stared at the steel counter while insults landed one after another, loud enough for the dining room to feel the tension. The chef leaned in close, close enough to spit, close enough to make the message clear. Mess up again and you are done. No one defended him. No one ever did. Fear moved faster than knives in this kitchen. It kept people sharp, silent, obedient. It also made hands shake and mistakes multiply. Service was only halfway through. The heat was rising, and something in the room felt ready to break. Chapter 1. Fire on the line. The dining room filled fast. Chairs scraped. Glass clinked. The printer started its scream before the first table finished ordering. In the kitchen, heat climbed in waves. Oil popped. Pans slammed down and lifted again. Knives moved fast. No one spoke unless it was necessary. The chef stood at the pass, arms crossed, jaw tight. He watched every plate like it was a test someone was failing on purpose. Tickets stacked, the rail bent under the weight. He did not help. He never helped. He waited. A salmon came up late. The line cook pushed it forward, eyes down. The chef looked at the plate, then at the cook. "What is this?" The cook swallowed. "Salmon, chef." The chef picked up the plate and tilted it, letting the sauce run. "You think this is right?" The cook did not answer fast enough. "Say something." "I thought it was." The chef slammed the plate back onto the pass. Sauce splashed the stainless steel. "You thought. That's the problem. You think. You don't know." The entire line stiffened. No one turned. Everyone listened. The chef leaned in, close enough that his voice dropped, but still carried. "I have been doing this longer than you have been alive. You don't guess in my kitchen." The cook nodded. His hands shook as he reached for another plate. "Louder," the chef said. "Yes, chef." Again, "Yes, chef." The sous chef stood two stations down, hands moving, eyes fixed on his own prep. His jaw tightened, but he said nothing. He never did. Another ticket printed, then another. The sound stacked on itself, sharp and endless. A steak came back from the dining room. Overcooked. The server stood at the edge of the pass, waiting for permission to speak. The chef snatched the plate. "Who cooked this?" No one answered. "I asked a question." The grill cook stepped forward. "I did, chef." The chef held the steak up like evidence. "This is dead. You killed it." "I followed the time." "You followed nothing." The chef tossed the steak into the trash. "You don't deserve to cook meat if you can't respect it." The grill cook stared at the bin. He did not move. "Get another one down now." "Yes, chef." The chef turned back to the pass, already scanning for the next mistake. Fear worked like a second heat source. It pressed in from every side. It made people quiet. It made them fast. It also made them miss things. Garnishes slipped. Plates dragged seconds too long. Hands fumbled. A young prep cook dropped a spoon. The sound was small, but the chef snapped his head around. "Pick it up." The cook bent down. "You think 5-second rule applies here?" "No, chef." "Then why did you hesitate?" "I was just..." "Don't explain. Just move." The cook wiped the spoon, replaced it, and backed away. Service pushed harder. The printer did not slow. Sweat ran down backs, shirts darkened. The sous chef called times, steady, controlled, trying to keep the line together. The chef cut across him. "You are behind. We are catching up." "No, you are losing control." The sous chef nodded. "Understood." The chef did not acknowledge him. He focused on the line cook again. "Where is my pasta?" 30 seconds. 30 seconds is a lifetime. You think guests come here to wait on you. The cook pushed harder, water splashed, a pan rattled. The chef smiled, thin and sharp. "You look nervous." "I'm focused." "No, you are scared." The word hung in the air. "Good," the chef said. "Fear keeps you honest." A plate went out wrong again. The chef caught it before it left the pass. He grabbed the garnish and flung it into the sink. "Are you blind?" The cook froze. "Answer me." "No, chef." "Then why does this look like garbage?" The dishwasher stopped scrubbing. Servers waited with empty hands. The room held its breath. The chef stepped closer. "You embarrass me in front of my kitchen." "I'm sorry." "Sorry does nothing. Sorry doesn't fix stupid." The sous chef shifted. His mouth opened, then closed. The chef noticed. "You want to say something?" The sous chef shook his head. "No, chef?" Good, stay in your lane. The chef turned back to the line. If you can't handle pressure, get out. This job eats weak people. No one moved. They could not afford to. Rent was due. Hours were scarce. The city was full of kitchens just like this one. Word traveled fast, leave wrong, and you never worked again. The chef knew that. He used it. Another rush hit. The dining room filled again. A table sent back two dishes at once. The chef exploded. This is a joke. He ripped the tickets off the rail and slammed them down. You think this is acceptable? The cook tried to explain. The chef cut him off. I don't care why. I care that it happened. The cook's eyes were wet now. He blinked hard, kept working. The chef leaned back against the pass, arms wide. Look around. Everyone here is watching you fail. No one looked. Fix it, the chef said, or pack your knives. The phrase landed like a threat. Everyone knew he meant it. Service crawled forward. Plates went out cleaner, quieter. The chef said less, but his presence stayed heavy. Every movement was watched. Every sound felt wrong. Finally, the printer slowed. Tickets thinned. The rush broke. The chef wiped his hands on a towel. That was sloppy. No one responded. You should be embarrassed. The line stared straight ahead. Clean down, the chef said. I want this kitchen spotless. He walked out without another word. The staff exhaled as one, slow and careful, like breathing might draw him back. The sous chef started breaking stations. He avoided eye contact. The line cook, who had been humiliated, kept his head down, scrubbing harder than necessary. No one spoke about what happened. They never did, but the silence was thick, and everyone knew tomorrow would be the same. Chapter 2. Pressure cooker. Prep started early, earlier than usual. The chef wanted everything tight before the critic arrived. He said the name once and the kitchen changed shape around it. Movements got sharper, voices dropped lower, mistakes felt heavier before they even happened. The chef paced behind the line, inspecting prep bins like a warden. He lifted lids, poked sauces, tasted with a grim face. This is thin. It reduced overnight. Not enough. He dumped the container into the sink. Redo it. That's 4 hours of work. Then you better move. The cook bit his tongue and started again. The chef picked a target and stayed there. A newer line cook, quiet, reliable, too eager to please. The chef stood behind him longer than necessary, watching every cut. You're slow. I'm on pace. No, you're dragging. The chef leaned closer. Everyone else is waiting on you. The cook sped up. His knife slipped. Not enough to cut him, but enough to rattle him. Careful, the chef said. You hurt yourself. That's your fault. Lunch service blurred into dinner prep. No break, no reset. Just pressure stacked on pressure. The sous chef pulled the chef aside near the walk-in. His voice stayed low. We're burning people out. The chef stared at him. This is a professional kitchen. If they can't handle it, they leave. We're losing consistency. We're losing softness, the chef said. That's a good thing. The sous chef nodded and stepped back. He knew better than to push. By mid-afternoon, people started documenting. Quietly, phone notes, messages sent during bathroom breaks, dates, quotes, times. No one said why. Everyone knew. Dinner hit hard. The critic's table fired early. The chef hovered at the pass like a storm cloud. A plate went out missing a component. The chef caught it. Whose station? The targeted cook spoke up. Mine. The chef slammed the plate down. You are not ready for this level. I fixed the last one. You shouldn't have to fix anything. The cook's hands shook as he rebuilt the plate. The chef leaned in again. You embarrass me tonight. You won't be here tomorrow. Yes, chef. No, say it like you mean it. Yes, chef. The walk-in door slammed. A prep cook had stepped inside to breathe. The chef followed. The door closed behind them. No one could hear every word, but they heard enough. Raised voices. The chef's tone sharp and relentless. The cook's voice breaking. When the door opened, the prep cook came out first. His eyes were red. He went straight back to his station. The chef followed, calm now, controlled. Back to work, he said. We're not done. The critic's plates went out perfect. No mistakes, no sends back. The chef allowed himself a smile. Service ended late, no celebration, no relief. As stations were cleaned, a group text buzzed quietly among the staff. Screens lit up and dimmed again. Someone finally typed what everyone was thinking. This can't keep going. No one replied right away, but no one deleted the message either. Chapter 3. Breaking the heat. The collapse did not come from a mistake. It came from silence, breaking. Dinner started rough. A private event filled half the dining room. The printer ran hot again. The staff moved on instinct, not trust. Every sound felt sharp. A plate stalled at the pass. The chef snapped, "Move." The cook froze. His hands hovered unsure. I said, "Move." The sous chef stepped in. "I've got it." The chef turned on him. "Stay out of my way." The plate dropped, not shattered, but loud enough. Heads turned, servers stopped. The room felt thin, like one more word would tear it open. Service unraveled. Two orders went out wrong. A server argued back. The chef shouted. The line lost rhythm. The sous chef called for a pause. "We need 30 seconds. The chef laughed. "You need discipline." Another plate came back. The dining room could feel it now. Guests shifted. Voices rose. The owner appeared at the edge of the kitchen. He had not planned to be there. He took in the scene fast. "What's going on?" No one answered. The chef spoke first. "We're fine." The owner watched a cook wipe his eyes with his sleeve. He watched the sous chef avoid the chef's gaze. "Office," the owner said. The chef hesitated, then followed. The door closed. Service limped forward without him. It was quieter, still tense, but lighter. When the chef came back out, his face was set, controlled, different. "We'll talk later," the owner said to the staff. "Finish service." They did, slowly, carefully. After close, the kitchen stayed dark. No music, no joking. Everyone stood in a loose line. The owner spoke first. "I've received a complaint." The word landed heavy. "More than one," he added. The chef crossed his arms. "About what?" "About how you run this kitchen." The owner looked at the staff. "You don't have to speak. What's been documented speaks for you." The chef laughed once. "This is how kitchens work." The owner shook his head. "Not anymore." Silence pressed in. "We're making changes," the owner said, "effective immediately." The chef's jaw tightened. "I'm stepping in on management," the owner continued, "and we're bringing in outside oversight." The chef opened his mouth, then closed it. "You're not being fired," the owner said, "but you're not in charge right now either." The room exhaled. The chef stared at the floor. The owner turned to the staff. "You should never feel afraid to do your job." No one cheered, no one smiled. The damage was still there. Burnout, fear, habits built under pressure. The chef walked out without a word. Stations were cleaned in near silence, but it was different now. Not safe, not healed, just possible. As the last light went off, the sous chef paused at the door. He looked back at the empty line. Fear had run this place for a long time. It would take longer than one meeting to burn it out. But the heat had finally been challenged.